From Sulphur Springs to Mineral Wells, Oilton to Valley Mills, it's Friday, February 9th. I'm Laura Rice, in for host David Brown, and I'm glad to have your company today on the Texas Standard. Depending on what time you got up, you may have awoken to another federal government shutdown. This one did not last long, about 5 hours, but it did happen, and it's indicative of just how difficult it was for lawmakers to reach a deal. It was a long night in Washington. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky was in large part responsible for that. He delayed a vote in the Senate past midnight in an effort to drive home his frustration about what the deal would do to the national debt. But in the end, lawmakers did reach a bipartisan deal. It's not the full 2-year budget they were going for, but it will fund the military for that period of time, along with domestic programs. And then there's that money set aside for disaster relief. Big news for hurricane-ravaged parts of Texas. For more details on all of that and a breakdown of just how Texas lawmakers voted, we turn to Sean Theriault, professor in the Department of Government at the University of Texas at Austin, specializing in American politics. Professor Theriault, welcome back to the Texas Standard.
I'm happy to be on the show.
So, a long night for lawmakers. What do you make of the hours-long blockade from Senator Rand Paul? Senator John Cornyn, I guess, calling it irresponsible?
Right. So this is typical of the kind of behavior that Rand Paul has engaged in ever since he's come to the Senate. Mm. And this is his one issue. He is a big deficit hawk. Mm. And so he's really leery about spending lots of money without having it paid for. And so he took that principled stand on the Senate floor. Of course, it meant for a really long night for his other 99 colleagues. I don't think he's going to be winning many congeniality contests this morning.
So what are some of the main facets of this budget, and what are some features that Texans need to know about?
Yeah, so first, at the national level, so this is going to provide for the government to be open. It's going to raise the debt ceiling. It's going to take care of some of those basic maintenance things that we expect from our government. For Texas, though, it also includes $90 billion in relief aid. And of course, that's not all for Texas. Right. That also includes the wildfires in California and Puerto Rico, and even some help for the citrus growers in Florida. Mm. And I think that's in part why you saw the Texas delegation really support this bill more than you might have otherwise have thought.
So you actually did a breakdown of just how the Texas delegation voted on the legislation. People like Ted Cruz voting for it, but saying he wasn't particularly sold on the bill. Others voting no.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Ted Cruz was voting differently than some of the people that he normally votes right along with. But mm-hmm. both he and Cornyn, of course, were yes votes. And then in the House, there were 21 Republicans who voted for it. And then there were only 4 who voted against it. Mm-hmm. And among the Democrats, there were 8 in favor and 3 opposed. And the coalitions are interesting.
Right.
The 4 Republicans who opposed it are all up in the Dallas area. And that makes sense if they're not getting some of that Harvey aid, then it makes sense that they might not be in favor of it. And then the 3 Democrats are Castro and VC up in Dallas, and then Lloyd Doggett here in Austin.
And one big thing that I know Democrats were fighting for, and I'm imagining this was part of their hesitation to vote yes, was no immigration deal in this budget, leaving DACA recipients in limbo. Was that part of their frustration?
I'm sure that was part of their frustration. It was interesting, though, that even Sheila Jackson Lee came down to a yes, and I think that has a lot to do with that aid for Harvey. Mm. And it's hard being a minority party member in the House of Representatives because you just don't get to control what the House is going to consider. So that's why we saw Nancy Pelosi go to the House floor and try to get some concessions out of Paul Ryan, the Speaker. And Ryan has said that he might talk about the Dreamers once we get this bill passed. So we'll see what happens here over the next couple of days to see if he's good on his word with that.
I guess Pelosi and the Democrats were really trying to get more than just we'll see, kind of a promise that we'll definitely talk about this. I guess March 5th is the next deadline coming up for DACA recipients. Do you think they'll come to a deal, or do you think they'll continue to kick it down the road?
Well, what it seems like we'll have is a debate in both the House and the Senate, and that's really been missing even up to this point. And then who knows what happens when these bills make it to the House and the Senate floor. There are lots of different proposals. It seems like there's majority support for coming up with some type of solution for the Dreamers. But what's combined with that isn't at all clear. And whether or not the House and the Senate can come to some type of agreement, it's going to be really interesting politics here over the next month or so.
You know, it's funny. I thought we were ready to sign this 2-year budget deal, and here we are with just 6 more weeks of a budget. Are we anywhere closer to a 2-year deal, or do you think that these kind of temporary solutions are going to continue to be how we move along?
Oh, I think that we're a lot closer than we were even earlier this week. Mm. It seems like the broad outlines for that 2-year deal are definitely in play. And now that the debt ceiling has been taken off the agenda, I think that there's more room for them to operate. And maybe this might not be a bad thing to have this looming deadline again, where I think Republicans are going to need some Democratic support in the House, because it might actually give Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats a little bit better hand to force that Dreamer decision that, you know, the Democrats are so desperately after.
Sean Theriault is a professor in the Department of Government at the University of Texas, specializing in American politics. Professor Theriault, always a pleasure.
Thanks.